Do you know a high school student who would make a great pastor, teacher, deaconess, director of parish music, or director of Christian education? Tell them about Careers for Christ Weekend, Friday, October 12th through Sunday, October 14th at Concordia University, Chicago. This even includes a group outing to downtown Chicago. Check it out at cuchicago.edu/c4c. That's cuchicago.edu/c4c.
I met a girl, I fell in love, and I want to marry her.
You're Nicholas Young, you're untouchable. But Rachel's not.
Have you prepped Rachel to face the wolves?
You know I'm back, like I never left.
I really admire you. It takes guts coming all the way over here, facing Nick's family.
Another day, another breath.
I know this much. You will never be enough.
You know, it's about time someone stood up to Auntie Eleanor. Well, you, not me. She can't know I was ever here.
I feel glorious, glorious.
That's a trailer for a hit movie, Crazy Rich Asians. I'm actually kind of astonished that a movie with that title is making the kind of box office it is and getting the kind of press it is in an age where people are, well, let's just say sensitive to any kind of cultural appropriation or any reference to one's ethnicity. But it is. Is it funny? That's the big question. We're going to be reviewing the movie Crazy Rich Asians. Pastor Ted Geese joins us. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
How do you account for all the press and the box office that this otherwise kind of small comedy is getting, Crazy Rich Asians?
There's a couple things that you can kind of keep in mind. One thing is that August seems to be the month historically where it's kind of like the junk drawer of the film industry world. They kind of start throwing things in there. The summer is winding up, and they put things in there that they don't really know where to put it anywhere else. And so they just kind of, it's not the most desirable time to release a movie. So what ends up happening is you, every once in a while, you get something that really gets traction. So this is one of those ones that got a lot of traction. It's a pretty conventional, for the most part, romantic comedy. And lots of people like romantic comedies. It's a great date movie kind of opportunity, so you get that. But then it has the twist to it, and the big story with most of the media around the film is that it has this all-Asian cast. So and they're kind of like, there's, you know, Asians from all different parts of the world or who have been living in all different parts of the world. So you get a variety of accents and things like that. But it's the fact that all of the key central characters, there's maybe only about four or five Caucasian people in the whole film, and they have minuscule moments. They're not really the focus. So I think that that's the other thing. It brings a little bit of something new to the whole thing. And then a lot of Asian people really resonated with it too. So that's part of why it really hit big.
So what is the plot other than the title, as the title implies?
The plot is that it's this couple. So there's this girl, Rachel, this lady, who is a economics professor at the NCYU, so New York City University, and she teaches game theory, and she has this boyfriend that she really likes, Nick Young, and he's from Singapore, and he says, well, why don't we've been dating for about a year, why don't we go to Singapore, and my buddy is getting married, I'm in the wedding party, you can meet my family. And she doesn't know that he's a quote-unquote crazy rich Asian. And he's not just like rich, he's like, they're like pushing up towards the, you know, Bezos kind of, you know, Elon Musk sort of Bill Gates, way up high in the financial kind of world for money. So this is not something that she was expecting. And then she has to kind of navigate that. Plus, she grew up in North America. So she's not, you know, there are people there in Asia who look at her and they don't see her as being really Asian because she has these Western sensibilities. So that's a part of it as well. So meet the parents, go to this wedding, you know, deal with some, you know, internal racial identity issues. And that's what you get in the movie. So in like any romantic comedy, there's things go well, then they don't go well, and then they go well. So it's that kind of a pattern.
All right. To talk about This Is Coming Out, the title alone might raise some eyebrows in an age where the latest way of triggering a certain segment of the population is to engage in what's called cultural appropriation. Now, that usually means someone appropriating someone else's culture, but it could also be someone making a movie about a culture, especially when you call them crazy rich Asians.
Yeah, it's based on a book. So that was the title of the book previously. So it's not that they penned that on their own. And the director, this John Chu, he's an Asian fellow who grew up in California. So somebody, it's not a Caucasian or an African-American person or somebody making a film about something that's out of their depth. So, or something that they're not. So there's a lot there where people are going to say, okay, well, we'll listen to what you have to say about this. The other thing that's kind of interesting with that is that there are some kind of interesting complex parts of it. For instance, at the very end, and in a kind of half cheeky kind of way, but not really, because it's actually fairly genuine, they end up using this Coldplay song called Yellow at the very end, right as the credits are about to roll at the end of the film. And at first, Coldplay didn't want to give them the rights to do it. But then John Chu actually wrote them a personal letter asking them that they could use it in the film. And the word yellow then kind of has reference connecting back to the idea of a banana. And that's something that shows up in the film itself. So this is something that the film talks about, where the character of Rachel, you know, has to deal with the idea that some people see her as quote unquote a banana, which is yellow on the outside and white on the inside because of her growing up in North America. And the director himself had to deal with that stuff along the way. I listened to an interview with the director, and the interviewee was asked by the interviewer, you know, like, well, has anybody asked you, like, is it okay for you to make this movie because you're a man and not a woman? Because the central character is this Rachel, and she's a lady, and she's dealing with all of this stuff. So it's one of those things where it's like, you can check off as many boxes as you like, but there's going to be somebody somewhere who's going to find something that they're not happy with. And that's kind of the way it is right now. But for the most part, people are pretty happy with kind of, I don't know, the pedigree of how this has all developed and come out. It's part of the story.
One of the characters, and you'll have to kind of explain this to us, is a Christian.
Yeah, there's a number of them. What you discover is that this very rich family and the close-knit additional family members, extended family members, are a Methodist. So this is set largely in Singapore, and they moved from mainland China down there like forever ago, and they're like industrialist, but like developers, and they have this Methodist background. So they're very rich, and they're Christian, and you get introduced to Nick's mother, played by Michelle Yeoh. She's in a Bible study. That's how you get introduced to her in the film. And she's there with other friends and sister-in-laws and people in the family, and they're having this Bible study. And in fact, one of the first things you get is her reading Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. And then within a couple minutes, she's talking to her son. She knows that he's coming with this girlfriend, and she very deftly and politely sets it up so that they're not going to be staying together under the family roof, that she wouldn't permit that as a Christian. So you see all of this set up, and you're thinking, hey, this is really great. There's a successful, rich Christian lady who cares about her moral fiber and, you know, the Christian faith, and is maybe going to be an excellent role model type character in the film. And then the rug gets pulled out from underneath you.
So how do you suggest a Christian audience member approach that particular characterization?
The other thing about it is like, so what's going to happen is you're going to see that this, then she becomes really the villain of the character. This is not like a particularly mean-spirited movie. So as far as villains go, she's not like the, like Cruella de Vil or something, but she is very hard on the character of Rachel, and she impedes the idea of them having a relationship, her and Nick, and won't give her permission for them to get married, you know, in the end. So she is, this is what's getting set up. And then finally, at the very end, she does give permission, but it's the Christian character who has to give way to love in order for the marriage to happen, kind of a thing. So sorry, this is a little bit of a spoiler, but that's kind of how these movies go. There's a major crisis, and then there's a conclusion that wraps it all up. But she kind of gets thrown under the bus in a way. I mean, she is given a bit of respect, but she's the one who has to compromise the most, you know, based on who she is. Rachel has to compromise a little bit too. So this is one of these things where, as a Christian, you're watching it and you're like, well, I really wish that they hadn't done that. Now, I've not read the book, so I don't know if that's, I'm imagining that that is just the way it was in the book too. But can you think of other times, like, I don't want to put you on the spot, but like, you'll run into characters where they are set up and presented to you as Christian characters, and then they turn out to be psychopaths or villains or, you know, very evil individuals. And it's not that they're like sinners that are repentant or sinners that are struggling with their sin and trying to live different lives, or they have no character arc like that in them, but they're actually just set up as villains. Do you have any thoughts on any of those kind of characters?
Well, I mean, it's not, this one is not presented as a particularly savory character from the very beginning, but I think everyone's go-to example there would probably be the father from Footloose.
Oh, yeah. John Lithgow. Yeah, as the preacher in town who's, you know, railing against kids dancing, like teenagers, and a number of other things, and it is kind of unkind. Like, and this is part of what you see. Another recent example, I just watched this 10-part TV, I guess it's a TV show that just, they're going to have a second season of it now, called Castle Rock, which is loosely based on Stephen King writing his books. And there's a character in it called Matthew Deaver, who's a Protestant minister. And to justify his plot to murder his wife, who he suspects of having an affair with the town sheriff, Alan Pangborn, he uses Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. And, you know, he says this to his, you know, adopted son. But of course, it stops short, like the rest of the verses, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And they don't put that in there. But in the course of the 10-part TV show, you see two versions of this man from alternate realities. They're both squirrely men who think that they hear the voice of God in the woods, this kind of sound. And one of those guys locks a boy up in his basement for 27 years thinking that he's the devil. Again, it's like, and he's a Protestant minister. So he's portrayed as this, you know, character who is a Christian, but is altogether bad and evil. And it does come up over and over again. And it's an unfortunate thing when you, as a Christian, are watching a film and you see Christians presented in that way.
What else would you say to potential viewers of Crazy Rich Asians that you think they should know going in?
One thing, now this is kind of a, you know, meta thing or a bigger thing to think about. This is like, it was number one in the box office for 3 weeks in a row, which is quite good. It's made a lot of money. And it's one of three kind of movies that all hit number one this summer. So The Meg, which we talked about, was also set in an Asian setting. So they had at one point a number of shots. There's this kind of island that's like China's Hawaii. And there's this city, and by the city, like, think of the Statue of Liberty. But instead of that, there's this gigantic 108-meter Buddhist statue that's there. And that kind of shows up in the film prominently at different spots. And then also there was the Dwayne The Rock Johnson adventure disaster film Skyscraper, which is set in Hong Kong but is shot in Vancouver, Canada. But the setting is Asian. And what's going on is, and I think this is something that people can think of, is that right now Asia, China particularly, but even more if you add up the rest of the Asian countries, is the second largest film market in the world. So we're going to start to see more films that focus on or are set in or have casts that are predominantly or include Asian kind of related things in them to appeal to that market. So the question is like, how are Christians going to fare, you know, when they show up in those kinds of films? Like, how is the presentation of Christianity going to fare as it shows up in those kind of films? And somehow in Hollywood's mind, more often than not, they associate Christianity with being Caucasian. But that's not the ethnic, racial, cultural makeup of Christianity. From the beginning, Jesus sent out the disciples to all nations. And it's not been a specifically one ethnic group, one racial group kind of religion. So how is that going to play out? You know, in this case, you have these characters who are Methodists, and the key matriarch character is presented as the villain. And lots of Christians do terrible things. We start our services with confession, absolution for a reason. But how are they portrayed is the question that is something that I have on my mind, and I hope other people can have on their mind too.
Is the film funny? Is it simply kind of one running joke on being Asian, or is it genuinely funny, laying that aside?
It's pretty funny. There were some moments that I laughed at. I thought it was kind of fun. There is a kind of up-and-coming comedian / rap artist named Awkwafina who's in it, and she's quite good. She's apparently quite rough around the edges. If you go search on YouTube, you're going to be kind of quickly appalled by the content of her rap music, as it were. She's funny in the movie. They do have their obligatory gay character who does all the things that gay characters do in one of these kinds of movies. Like, he helps with the clothing and makes everything fabulous. So there's that. It has its genuinely funny moments, and it's a rather lighthearted movie. Like, I know we've been talking about some serious parts, but overall it is a light romantic comedy with a little more depth than usual.
You can read Pastor Ted Geese's review of Crazy Rich Asians at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thank you.
Thank you.
On the other side of the break, we are going to do our regular Friday feature this week. In Pop Christianity, we'll be talking about megachurch pastor Craig Groeschel's teaching, The Essentials of Innovation. Pastor Chris Roseboro, Fighting for the Faith, will be our guest.
And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies, who cares what picture you see?
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, proud supporter of Issues Etc. Each month we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.
Lutheranism in the Public Square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Ask the average evangelical about infant baptism, and they are likely to emphatically tell you that is a man-made doctrine, man-made practice. The Bible nowhere teaches it, and the Bible does not tell us to baptize our infants. Is this true?
Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith talking about his presentation at the Fall 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
We'll be opening up the scriptures and looking at who the scriptures say baptism is for. We'll take a look at the doctrine of original sin and how it relates to infant baptism. And we'll also take a look at the benefits of baptism, who's doing the work, and even take a look at a biblical account of baptismal regeneration.
You can meet and hear Chris Roseborough making the case for infant baptism at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 9th and 10th in Dallas, Texas. Learn more at issuesetc.org.